Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness.
The Bible contains remarkable stories of miracles and divine interventions. Moses parted the sea. Peter healed a man lame from his mother's womb. Jesus drove demons out of people and raised others from the dead. But are these types of events still happening today?
We too have a beam of divine light and guidance that God has put within the heart of every man. And it's one of the greatest proofs that there is a God.
More amazing supernatural things are happening than we realize.
This is Divine Intervention, the interview show that features intriguing people who've experienced the hand of God in amazing ways. Divine Intervention was created and produced with the purpose of encouraging believers, spiritual seekers, and skeptics alike that Jesus is alive and is still performing miracles and working in the world today.
I believe in miracles.
Here's your host, Daniel Fazina.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Divine Intervention. Yes, I am your host, Daniel Fazina. So excited to be with you today. Got a wonderful guest in store with a powerful testimony who I know you're going to enjoy hearing from. So many great things going on, and very excited. Before we get to our guest, I'd like to remind you that you can connect with me on Facebook, facebook.com/Divine Intervention Radio. And again, all of our archives of the show are listed on DivineInterventionRadio.com. Incidentally, the site is completely new and revamped, redesigned. I would love to know your thoughts, so if you do, check it out, DivineInterventionRadio.com. Drop me a line either on Facebook or email, DivineIntervention@mail.com. Let me know what you think of the new content and the new design. I'm in the process of transferring all my old archives from my previous website to my new one, so right now there's only about, I think, a dozen or so episodes up there. But eventually, we'll get them all transferred over. It's hard to believe, but today I'm recording my 181st episode of Divine Intervention Radio. It seems like yesterday that my wife and I started this show back in 2007. It's kind of an interesting story how it all got started, but that first episode we interviewed Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man of WWF wrestling fame. And it's so interesting because I called his office expecting to get his secretary or maybe an answering machine, and he himself picked up. He said, "This is Ted DiBiase." I was so surprised. I was like, "Hi, yeah, I'm Daniel Fazina. I have this radio show I'm trying to produce, and I'd like to interview you for it." And I was stumbling all over the place, and he was very gracious, and he said, "Yeah, sure, I'll do it." I was like, "Really?" That was really cool. So we had scheduled it for, I think, Tuesday. I want to say it was April 5th of 2007. And that weekend, we were still building the studio at WLIX, which has now been turned into Hope Radio. And I still did not have a clue where I was going to record this show because, well, the studio wasn't built yet. And Pastor Rich Anderson said, "Hey, call this guy Alan Cuffey. He has a studio," and he called up and wanted to volunteer and donate time and stuff. So I was like, all right, I called him up. I explained who I was, and it was totally a miracle because I called him the day before. I think it was a Monday. We're scheduled to interview Ted DiBiase on Tuesday, and it was a miracle that Alan happened to be free on a Tuesday morning at like 10 a.m. So my wife and I went down there, and we figured out a way how to set up the microphones and the telephones because Alan was a music producer. He had never produced a radio talk show before. And, of course, I was brand new, so I didn't know what I was doing. But we got it done. You know, we didn't know what we were doing, but Ted DiBiase was great. We recorded it. And that was the very first episode of Divine Intervention Radio. So we started off doing pretty well, and the show got picked up from WLIX. It spread to several stations throughout New England, WSDK in Hartford, WFIF in Milford, those are Connecticut stations. It also got picked up in Pennsylvania, and it is also now in Crystal River, Florida, and also on iTunes and the internet. It's just amazing what God has done with this show. I've been able to hear from listeners as far away as Australia, New Zealand, and England, all over the U.S., and it's just been an amazing thing how God is using these testimonies to really encourage people, build them up in the faith, and just show people that He loves them and He's still working in the world today. You know, friend, the Bible says in Revelation that the saints overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And today's guest has an amazing testimony. I have the privilege of talking with Mark Lynch, who is the author of his autobiography, Walk With Me. His website is walkwithmebook.com. And Mark had a pretty amazing theophany, if you will, or a divine intervention where God showed himself real to him tangibly and carried him through a very traumatic life, actually. He had a lot of traumas happen to him, including a very serious auto accident where he broke his neck in four different places. Doctors were shocked that he lived, and we're going to get that story. But Mark has died several times, at least twice. He's seen the glory of paradise, and he's seen Jesus. He's seen what it's like on the other side. So we're going to get his perspective in a moment. But before we do that, I'd like to remind you that my new book, Divine Intervention, 50 True Stories of God's Miracles Today, is being released by Charisma House Publishers on August 5th, 2014. I'm very excited about that. As the title indicates, there are 50 true stories in that book, and you've got things from near-death experiences to conversion experiences, medically documented divine healings. Yes, that's right. We're going to be including x-rays and doctor's reports and PET scans in there. For those skeptics, those doubting Thomases who need a little bit more information, they want to dig deeper and just to verify that the stories are true and I'm not making these things up, we have those in there. I'm very excited about that part of the book because, you know, as a journalist, as someone who's curious and likes to dig, I like to do a little research too. I mean, I know that God is real and I know what he's done in my life, so I believe that he can do all things. But there are people out there who are skeptics and who would like some more information, so I'm doing my best to be able to provide that to them. What's also great about the book is that not only does it contain medical documentation, but it also contains contact information and photographs of each person whose story is featured in there. So if you want to contact them directly and follow up with them and ask them more about their story, you can do that as well. All right, without further ado, I'd like to get to my guest, Mark Lynch. Mark is from Boston, Massachusetts. He is one of seven children. His father was very Catholic, and his mother didn't believe and thought his father was foolish. As we speak with Mark, we're going to hear about how God carried him through some really tumultuous times, including a serious car accident that could have taken his life. And in fact, he did die a couple times, as I mentioned. He actually had out-of-body experiences and saw paradise, but was sent back to tell the world about it. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Mark Lynch right now on Divine Intervention Radio. Mark, welcome to Divine Intervention Radio. Thank you so much for taking the time out to share with us today.
Oh, Dan, thank you.
Well, you know, I was very excited to hear from you after my good friend Gigi Urneta told me about you, and she's obviously a mutual friend of ours. And she said, Daniel, you got to interview this guy. He's had an amazing life and several divine interventions. So why don't you take us to the beginning a little bit? Tell us about your life growing up. Who is Mark Lynch?
Yeah, I ask myself the same question all the time. Well, basically, I grew up on the streets of Boston. My dad was a school teacher. My mom was stay-at-home. I got six brothers and sisters. There were seven altogether.
Okay.
But my father named us all Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Peter.
Oh, my goodness.
He was a very devout Roman Catholic.
All right. You can't get much more Catholic than that, right?
Oh, you get pretty Catholic. So my mother didn't really believe, and she thought my father was a fool. She thought the Pope was a poop, and that's what she used to express to us all the time. So when we were growing up, I wasn't really sure about God.
Okay.
And being a Roman Catholic, I wasn't taught the things that I know now. I wasn't taught them back then. The only thing I was taught was by nuns and priests, and they used that a stick called a rattan a lot. They used a lot of chin grabbing, cheek grabbing, ear grabbing, and hair grabbing.
Oh, wow.
And we watched a lot of kids go flying across the room if they looked sideways and said the wrong thing to a priest. And, you know, I used to think back then, I said, you know, if these are God's representatives, I don't really want to know him.
Mm.
I really don't.
That's really tragic.
I used to think back then, if God was real, he wasn't really watching anybody or anything.
Hmm.
And that someday, maybe way down the road, I would eventually meet him, if, in fact, he even was something that was real. And I didn't really believe.
Okay.
And I lived my life that way. I grew up, like I said, on the streets and did everything that you could possibly say was bad. Tried it. If it looked good, I try it, taste it, do it, sell it, buy it, steal it, whatever.
Oh, wow.
And I just wasn't a person that was living a what you would call a Christian life.
Okay.
I married my childhood sweetheart. We were both 15 when we started going out. When I went through my military experience, and I got out of the military in 72, I married my lifetime soulmate.
Right.
After then, my life sort of changed. Something happened to me in the military that was not a good thing. It was a very bad thing. And PTSD is a real thing. Most people don't realize what PTSD is. But if you can imagine being taken to the point that you things are being done to you that are beyond anything that you could imagine, it was just so horrible.
Right.
That's what happened. When I came back from the military, I was definitely not the same
right.
as I went in. So,
and you detail this in your book, Walk With
Me,
which is a very it's a difficult read in that part, and kind of shocking about what happened. It was kind of like a hazing ritual, but kind of more than that, actually.
Well, the military needed a certain kind of soldier for special missions, and where you wouldn't have many other members, other military with you, and you needed to be the type of person that would ground your feet in and hold your ground,
right,
whatever it took.
Okay.
And that's basically what they were doing. So they basically had to take away my humanity.
That is really tragic.
It was. But then they tried to introduce this person, me, into society after they do what they did. It wasn't really that much different than the TV show. There's a show called Beauty and the Beast.
Okay.
And I laugh. Now, I don't turn into a beast like that, but in a way, that's what you do turn into.
Hmm.
It was very difficult for me because I kept coming down with ulcers because I'm trying to live a regular life when I would have this thing in me that was not normal, was not regular.
And you were also having nightmares, is that right?
Oh, it was the night terrors is more or less what they were, and they were awful. I got to the point my wife was afraid to sleep in bed with me.
Wow.
And this kept going, and I just was trying to hold jobs, but I would end up in the hospital with all kinds of ulcers. So it was very, very difficult. Well, we got married and bought a home and whatever, and no matter what I did, it was wrong. It just didn't work out, and I just couldn't get a steady work. I couldn't find a job. I had a high school education, but I had a problem. I had a problem with this PTSD,
right,
and I didn't know about it, and nobody knew about it back then. This was in the early 70s.
Okay.
So what had happened is about 1975, I had been married since 72. We had twin girls.
Okay.
And I remember that I couldn't keep up with the mortgage bill, providing for my family properly. And I had taken it was like my last shot. I borrowed as much money as I could. I invested it into this business that basically cleaned masonry services, as opposed to cleaning them from sandblasting. This would clean them from a chemical, and then it would be done under high pressure washing. So
right.
I tried to start this business. I didn't have, like I said, much money. I think I had $150 that I ended up buying this van. It was multicolored, and I figured, okay, if I'm going to be in business, at least it should be one color. I didn't have money to have it spray painted or whatever, and I had a can of this bright orange paint, fluorescent orange paint. And I said, well, at least it'll stand out, and it'll all be one color. So it was a nice spring day. I'd say it was probably about 65 degrees out. It was a beautiful day. I parked my van in the back of my house in Bridgewater, Massachusetts, and it outlooks about 10 acres of woods.
Okay.
And behind me. And I hand-painted this truck. Then it was about maybe 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I figured, okay, I'm going to let everything settle down and dry, and then I'll drive the van to the front of the house and get all the equipment in it and get it all ready, because I was going to do a exhibition the next day.
Okay.
So I went in, I had some lunch, I came back out, And I was kind of looking at the paint job, and I said, well, it's ugly, but it'll work. So I jumped in the van, and I tried starting, and I got nothing. And I says, okay, this isn't good. And I tried, and I tried, and I tried. And I was going at it for about 15, 20 minutes, and I could not get that thing to turn over. And I'm not the most mechanically inclined person, but now I'm starting to really get angry because my whole life is on this thing turning over and showing this exhibition the next day, because otherwise I wasn't going to get any more funds. I wasn't going to be able to provide support for my family.
Right.
So I don't know how it came up, but I was getting angry just thinking of it, which is a byproduct of PTSD as well. And I was getting angry and angry, and this thought came in my mind, why don't you ask God?
Hmm.
Now, that came in my mind. Now, granted, I'm not a type of person would give God a second thought, just, you know,
right,
at this part of my life. And I said, yeah, God. And then I just started thinking about it. I just got angrier and angrier and angrier, and I started thinking, well, gee, you know what? If there really was a God, don't you think he would see what's going on around here?
Mm,
these babies being born with these birth defects, seeing people being taken advantage of. The only ones that seem to make money are the drug dealers, the people that steal, rob, that do everything wrong. Those are the only ones that I knew that were getting ahead. And I'm sitting there saying, God, why would I pray to a God? And I started thinking about it. I was getting angrier and angrier and angrier. And then I said, you know what? And I kept saying it to myself. And then I get out of the van and I'm screaming. And I'm saying, you know what? If you're real, and I didn't say this in a nice way, if you're real, I dare you to come down here. You prove it to me right here and now. And I spit on the ground. I says, I have more respect for that than I do for some self-proclaimed God.
That's a dangerous prayer.
It was a very dangerous prayer.
But you know what? God listens, doesn't he?
Oh, yes. And it because I didn't really know if he was there or not. You know, I didn't know if that was even real. So, but I wanted to know right then, but I meant it from the bottom of my soul. I was serious with him. And I challenged him, and I said some horrible, horrible things. And I was ranting and raving and screaming, looking up into the sky. And all of a sudden, where I had my neighbor to my left mowing his lawn, and I could hear the lawnmower going with no problem, and I had two children playing on swings on my right-hand side, and I could hear them playing, all of a sudden I can't hear anything.
Mm.
It just got dead quiet. The air got dead quiet. People got dead quiet. And I said, okay, this is kind of strange. Wasn't a windy day. It was a beautiful day. All of a sudden, I'm looking at the woods. I see the trees in front of me, and I start seeing the trees start to part right down the middle. It like I said, there was probably 10 acres of woods there. And they weren't being like they were blown in the wind going back and forth, sideways. Something was actually going right down the middle, and I couldn't see anything. I just seen the trees parting on both sides, and whatever it was, it was coming towards me.
Oh,
and I'm standing there, and I'm getting a little nervous because I said, okay, this isn't normal. This is very weird. There's something going on here. Well, I've never seen nothing like this. And it went right through, right up to me. I still couldn't see anything, and all of a sudden, something just took a hold of me. It was like it was a giant invisible hand. It was in my face, and it lifted me off the ground, and it was holding me. I could move my head, but I couldn't move any other part of my body.
Wow.
Looking to my left for the guy with the lawnmower. I see him. I just can't hear him. I see the kids. I can't hear them. So whatever it was in front of me wanted my full attention.
No kidding.
And I'll tell you, he had it.
How high were you off the ground?
Maybe a few inches. I wasn't that far off, but okay. My feet were dangling.
Wow.
And I'm up there, and I'm saying, okay, all right. Now, what went through my mind right off the bat was, okay, you called him out. Here he is, big shot. Okay, now go. What were you going to do? So, you know, I couldn't say anything. I just was totally, totally, 100% giving my attention to him. And instead of squishing me like a bug, throwing me on the ground, and then stomping me, or just ripping me apart, he didn't. He wasn't even angry. And all I heard was these words, I will show you I am.
Wow.
I was released. I fell on the ground. Never forget those words. I'll never forget those words. And I had no idea what exactly had happened, but I know I soiled myself, and I ran in the house to try to explain it to my wife, and she thought I have gone totally off my rocker. And I said, I think I've gone off my rocker too. There's something really wrong here, and I couldn't understand. But I had not realized that he had planted a seed in me.
Now, at that point, you didn't know that one of the names for God is I Am, right?
I had no clue whatsoever. Did not know what I Am meant. And I did not. What does he mean? He will show me. Show me what? I didn't see anything.
Right. Well, we're going to get to the rest of your story and see just how God did show you. Friend, you're listening to Divine Intervention Radio. I am your host, Daniel Fazina, and our special guest is Mark Lynch from Boston, Massachusetts, and his book, again, is called Walk With Me. The website is walkwithmebook.com. I had a chance to read it, and it is gripping. The amazing things that, just the amazing testimony that Mark has and the things he's gone through, it will really encourage you and boost your faith. So coming up, we're going to hear the rest of his exciting story and how God really showed himself true to him. So stay with us. We'll be right back with more of Mark Lynch right here on Divine Intervention Radio.
You're listening to Divine Intervention with Daniel Fazina, and we'll return in just a moment.
Hey, this is Daniel Fazina. Thanks for listening to my show, Divine Intervention. I hope it has inspired you. More information about the show, free downloads, and podcasts can be found on the web at www.divineinterventionradio.com. Times are tough, not getting easier, but there's an opportunity that could make a significant change in your financial situation. People are paying too much for home utilities, and everybody has them. Help friends and family save money and get paid for it. No obligation. You don't even have to talk to anyone unless you want to. Just listen to a 3-minute recorded message. Call now, 203-717-3124. 203-717-3124. Listen, decide, and you could be on your way to a better tomorrow. 203-717-3124. Divine Intervention welcomes the support of Letierzo Associates Certified Public Accountants. Letierzo Associates Certified Public Accountants is a family-owned and operated Christian business serving their clients with quality accounting services for over 40 years. Offering full-service accounting for any type of business, large or small, in any state of the union. Letierzo Associates Certified Public Accountants, 12 Oak Street, No. 5, West Hampton Beach, New York, 11978. Phone 631-288-3334. That's 631-288-3334. First Steps to Success with ABC's secret millionaire, Danny Johnson, gives you the tools to remap your internal beliefs about yourself, about your money, and about others. You'll learn a simple but powerful system to create success in any environment, as well as business building, leadership, sales, and marketing skills to create the lifestyle most only dream about.
Prior to getting started with Danny, I was a civil engineer working paycheck to paycheck, no retirement, no savings. Had a lot of dreams and goals and couldn't figure out how I'm gonna get to those. Started plugging into Danny, started my own engineering business, and this year we'll do about $600,000 in revenue. I paid off $50,000 in debt in 2.5 years. More than the money, a great relationship with my wife and my kids. Just amazing 2.5 years.
First Steps to Success with Danny Johnson is about becoming the leader you were called to be. More information about Danny Johnson and First Steps to Success can be found at DannyJohnson.com or by calling 866-760-8255. Divine Intervention is supported by the Other Perspective Media recording artist, poet Billy Lamont. Poetry, music, film, video, publishing, art, activism, photography, philosophy, Jesus. The Other Perspective 777, a sacred art sensory experience. More information about poet Billy Lamont's CDs, books, and Other Perspective Media can be found at www.billylamont.com. That's www.billylamont.com.
Have you heard the story about the terrifying dragon created by God.
Dragons, just the word conjures up all these images.
They look like big reptiles with long tails, with scales, sharp teeth, claws.
They're carnivorous and they're basically going to gnaw your face off.
Could actually be stories about what we today call dinosaurs.
Marco Polo's writing about dragons. Alexander the Great's talking about his giant lizard.
How did the people who carved that stone 800 years ago have carved a stegosaur?
Where in the world did all those images come from?
Do you believe in dragons or dinosaurs?
Try to explain away human encounters with creatures which we would call dragons.
Creation or evolution?
Clearly, science has shown this dinosaur died out very recently.
This is one of the greatest paleontological discoveries ever.
Man or God?
Confirms the Bible's history that dinosaurs and people lived at the same time.
Cloud 10 Pictures proudly presents Dragons or Dinosaurs, DVD and book. Ask for it at fine Christian retailers everywhere.
Hi, this is Cha-Cha from The Sopranos and the unofficial mayor of Little Italy. And you're listening to Divine Intervention with Daniel Fazina.
Welcome back to Divine Intervention Radio. I am your host, Daniel Fazina, and if you're just joining us, we have been visiting with our special guest, Mark Lynch, of Boston, Massachusetts area, and he is the author of Walk With Me, which is an amazing story about his life. It's kind of like a memoir, and it tells his testimony and all the incredible things that he went through and what God brought him through. Mark, welcome back.
Thank you, Dan.
Okay. So before the break, you were talking about how you had this amazing experience where the Lord basically lifted you up and hugged you, and he said, I will show you I am. And you didn't know what that meant, but your life did change after that because you had kind of challenged him and called him out, and you were surprised when he answered you. What happened after that?
Well, like I said, I was just shocked because the voice was just a quiet, peaceful voice. I mean, there was no anger, and I couldn't understand. I couldn't fathom it. And I, like you say, and I said, I didn't know what I am, and I didn't know what he meant. But he'll show me. He's going to show me what. I mean, but it really, he had planted a seed in me, and I had to find out who exactly he was. So I had this mad desire. No matter what I did, I had to find out who he really is. And I searched everywhere. I've checked out everything that anybody claims, from the Roman gods, Greek gods, Roman Catholicism, to, you know, Buddhism, to everything you could think of, with anything I could find that would bring me to knowing who he was.
Okay.
And all of the research, everything I researched, I found flaws. That couldn't be so. This couldn't be. If he was this, then what? Why do these people believe this? I mean, it was just amazing that the things that I'd learned. And I learned that the only way I could find him is I had to find the only true God that ever made an appearance here on earth that was actually miraculous. And it led me from the Jewish religion to Jesus. And from that point, from the point in Bridgewater, he totally transformed my life, turned me around. things started going together, things started going right. So the more I wanted to learn, I would listen to the radio shows. If I wasn't listening to the radio shows, whatever time I could, I'd want to know about God. He even got me a job working as a letter sorting machine operator for the post office, where you have to wear headphones while you would operate this machine. And I would have a Christian radio on all the time, so I would hear different preachers and their points of view. And then I'd go home and I'd study the Bibles, and I'd look and make sure, is this true? Are they lying to me? Or, you know, and it would go on and on. And it was kind of funny. It was like, I would pray and talk about something to them, and here I am praying and talking to somebody I can't even see, an invisible person, and I'm not doing it like they did and try to teach me with Catholicism that I had to say 14 Hail Marys and 6 acts of confession. No, I could talk to him like he was my most precious, precious friend, like he was a father that I always, really, always wanted and never could have. I mean, it was just, it was miraculous. And he would interact with me. And things that were, people would say, oh, that's just a coincidence. There were so many, there were thousands of coincidences then. And you had to realize that he is interacting with me.
Right. At that point, when you have thousands of supposed coincidences, it makes you think, well, maybe it's not really coincidence.
Now it's going right up till 1979.
Okay.
It was me and my wife and my youngest daughter, my third daughter. And we were going shopping at a store in Dedham, Massachusetts. And we were coming off the expressway, and we were stopped in a line of traffic. When out of the blue, we're talking maybe 1:30 in the afternoon, this Mercedes, huge Mercedes tank, I'll call it, just plowed into us and plowed us into 5 other cars.
Oh, my gosh.
And from the result of it, and I thought everything was, you know, I was all in shock, and my wife was she was banged up. My daughter wasn't scratched, but our vehicle was pressed like an accordion. And
wow.
And it was from there is when I found out I broke my neck in 4 places.
I mean, it took you some time to find this out. You were walking around after the accident.
I drove home. I wouldn't get in the ambulance. Didn't want them to check me out. Drove home. When I got home, I lied down.
Okay.
And I lied down for about an hour. Then all of a sudden, oh, it felt like, you know, I was being, everything was going numb on me. My arms, my legs, everything was going numb. And I said, okay, something really weird. My legs were starting to feel like they weighed about 1,000,000 pounds. And, you know, I said, okay, honey, we got to go to the hospital. Something's wrong. So they get up there, and, you know, it was like, now it was like, I don't know, maybe 1 o'clock in the morning. I was getting late, and I went into the emergency room, and the doctor that they took the x-rays, had me wait. The doctor came in. He was on call. Didn't seem like he really wanted to come in here to look at me, like I was bothering this guy. And, you know, he's looking at me, he says, oh, you're fine, you just need a neck collar. And he slaps his neck collar. He says, now just take a couple baths and you'll be all right. Nothing wrong with you. He says, and don't think you're going to get me involved in any insurance scam, because I'm not doing it.
He actually said that to you?
Yes, and I'm getting this attitude, and I'm saying, no problem. So then we go to leave the hospital, and I drive home. Before I got home, he was parked in my driveway. Don't move. Don't breathe. Don't do nothing. He finally looked at the x-ray, the idiot, and he says, oh, my God. And he says, you shouldn't be functioning. You should be, no, this is not right. And I says, yeah, well, I am. So they put me in this traction thing, where a normal spine would, you know, be sort of straight with a slight curve. Mine zigzagged. Instead of the spinal cord snapping, it stretched, and it stretched around the brakes. They never seen nothing like that. They said, this is impossible. I remember Christopher Reeves sitting in a wheelchair and the only movement he could have was with his mouth, and he'd move this thing, and that's what should have happened to me, but it didn't.
Wow.
Couldn't explain it. And I would go from one doctor to another, because they couldn't correct it. Couldn't fix it. They said, if we try to go in there and fuse it all together, he says, you probably have maybe a 5% chance you're even going to survive the operation. And even if you survive the operation, you even have a lesser chance you're going to be normal. You're probably going to be paralyzed from that point on.
Wow.
And I said, if you can live the way you live, I would live it. And she said, but you're going to have to do some other occupation than what you're doing, something that you don't even move. And I says, oh, no, I can't do that. So for 25 years, I lost my job at the post office because of it. They gave me a handshake and nice working with you and the whole bit, but I mean, it was horrible. It was horrible.
No kidding.
And I'm trying to survive and get my family through and whatever. And it was just an unbelievable struggle. When God takes you by the hand, he's not going to bring you through nice, soft, marshmallow, cotton, wonderful path. He's bringing you through the bushes that have a lot of thorns in them.
He's going to
take you like you would take a piece of coal, and you would put it under severe pressure to get that diamond.
Right.
That's how he changes your life. But you got to hang in there, because no matter what he does, you got to trust him.
Right.
Trust him and obey him and hang in there. He's going to get you through. And that's the way I looked at it.
Friend, if you're just joining us, we're listening to the gripping account of Mark Lynch, who is telling us the story of how, you know, he got into a very severe car accident and broke his neck in four places, was not expected to survive. This is Divine Intervention Radio. I'm your host, Daniel Fazina. So, Mark, God did bring you through this, and you did eventually have an operation to correct it, but that didn't go so smoothly either. You actually died twice and experienced paradise. Tell us about that.
Well, what had happened was it was 25 years of trying to live with this thing, and I didn't get much sleep. I felt like my feet were being sliced with razor blades. My hands were being hit with sledgehammers. I'd constantly fall, or my arms would just give way, and you know, you couldn't even hold my hands up, or my arms up. And it was, I know I went to my daughter's wedding, and she had just bought a beautiful camera, and she wanted me to take the pictures, and it just fell out of my hands, and my hands just fell. And, you know, it broke the camera, and that was it. I had to go have this thing straightened out. So I went to Mass General. I saw a neurosurgeon was supposed to be, everybody's the best. You hear about everybody's the best. So I
said, sure.
This guy's the best, great. I went in, they took x-rays. They said that where the bones had actually broken, the body tries to heal itself. It makes this calcite material, which actually is bone spurs that develop for it. And they were penetrating my spinal cord.
Oh, boy.
And where your spinal cord might be open the size of a dime, mine was probably maybe a third of that open. And the spinal cord was being compromised by these bone spurs. They were actually penetrating into my spinal cord. So they said that this is what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to go in from the front of your neck. I said, wait a minute. The last time I heard, he says, yeah, that was 25 years ago. We don't do it like that. We don't go in the back. We don't do anything. We're going to go in the front. We're going to take the vertebrae out of your neck. We're going to grind them down. We're going to pull out all the bone spurs that's in your spinal cord, and we're going to repair your spinal cord. Then we'll put them back in. We're going to take a piece of bone off your hip, grind it down, use it as fusing material, fuse all it into one solid column, and then we'll put a titanium plate and screw that into your neck.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
And you should be fine.
All that, and then you should be fine.
All that. Okay, and I'm sitting there saying to my wife, saying, are you crazy? You're going to let the... And I says, well, what's my other choice? He says, well, looking at this and the way that the bone spurs are penetrating your spinal cord, you don't have much longer anyway.
Wow.
Because I knew what was happening. I couldn't even lift my legs.
Mm.
And my arms, everything was shutting down. It was real hard to breathe. So I knew that something's going to happen or I'm gone. So they did the operation. I woke up the operation, and for the first time in 25 years, I was out of pain.
Wow.
Just thank you, God, just for that.
Yes.
And I thought that was it. They sent me home because with HMOs, they don't like you hanging around the hospital. They sent me home, and it was about 3 days after that when I noticed where they had taken the piece out of my hip. Now, I had this rash that covered the top of my legs, right down to my kneecap, and right under my chest, all across my whole stomach, I had this huge rash, and it was getting worse, and it was almost like you could watch it growing, and my throat was closing.
Oh, dear.
And
that's not a good
I had 104 temperature. My wife said, okay, not fooling around with this. We're going back in the hospital. Something's wrong. So I got there, and I found that in the hip site that they had taken the bone out of. Now I had in that site this thing called necromancing fasciitis, or strep A is another word for it. Or the other word that they use is the flesh-eating disease.
That doesn't sound good.
I was in my whole skeletal system running wild now.
Wow.
They didn't know if they could catch it in time. You don't get that within, say, a 24-hour period and have it under control. It basically liquidates everything. All your organs shut down, they all liquid, and it just, you die. So it was emergency type of thing, and I was waiting in a room outside the operating room, because the operating room was in use. There was several operating, they were all in use, and they were waiting for one to clear up to get me in there.
Okay.
And while I'm standing there, he looked like he was 12. Doctor comes in.
Okay.
To room with me, and I'm looking at him saying, all I thought was Doogie Howser. And I said, this guy is not cutting me. You know, there's no way. You go get your dad or something, you know, but you're not doing this. So I looked at the kid and I said, hey, kid, does your mother know you're skipping school, coming in here to play doctor?
Oh, nice. He must have loved you.
Didn't take that nicely at all. He turned around. He was so mad. Turned around, did not want to, and I went to say something else, and it was at that point that my throat completely closed. I started flopping on the table. And the next thing I know, I'm on the ceiling looking down at my body.
Wow.
And I'm saying, okay. But I could still think I'm still me. How can I be me? And I'm up to here, but my body's here. I said, how? And I start thinking, how am I getting back in there?
Mm.
Does this guy know? Can this guy fix this problem? It's because he hasn't turned around. So what I did was I went and tried to tap him on his shoulder to get him to do something. But my hand's going through him, and I says, oh, man, this is dead. I mean, I didn't get totally panicked, but I was concerned that this is, what happens next? And eventually the guy turned around, he pushed a button, and then doctors and nurses come out of the woodwork. I had a perfect vantage point above my body up there near the ceiling. I watched, I was looking at all their Scully caps, and one had Tweety Bird, one had Skull and Crossbones, one had a blue one, one was an aqua one, one was a pink one, and I knew exactly where they were, and I was watching everything that they did. And they tried putting the scope down my throat. They weren't getting anywhere. Then a female doctor pushed the regular doctor aside. She tried. She wasn't getting anywhere. Then they tried putting tubes up my nose. All they got was blood. Then I watched, and they were making these slices in my neck, trying to put the plastic tubes in there. But they didn't know about the plate in the other stuff, the operation that was in there. They hadn't got fully briefed on that. So I guess the doctor that had done the original operation had heard that I was coding and all this other stuff. They come in with a big silver drill.
Oh, boy.
I watched them drill a hole through my throat. And at that time, everything got totally black. And now I find myself like in a black hole. There was only one source of light. And that source of light was God. And I don't think it wasn't Jesus, it was God the Father. But all this time, I'm not getting formal introductions. I mean, you can't see him perfect. It's almost like a fog in front of us. You know what I mean? That he's sort of veiled with that. But I seen his hair blowing all over. It like it's huge, huge. It was just so white. And it's not like you can stare at him. I mean, I felt like I was like 5 years old.
But you knew it was God the Father?
Oh, yeah. You know how, like, when you're a little kid and you just told to stand at attention, you just stand at attention?
Yep.
You don't move your eyes. You don't move nothing. You just keep your eyes looked down on the ground.
Yep.
Okay, that's how I felt. And I felt I'm being examined by him. Now, to my right was this hideous thing. I don't know how to explain what it was. All I know, the skin on it was green and yellow. And it was the most hideous, ugliest thing I've ever seen, ever. And it had a black cape on, and it was communicating with God. Not words, telepathy.
Hmm.
And I could hear everything that was going back and forth, everything. And this thing, whatever it was, I don't know if it was the angel of death, Satan, the ugly side of me. I don't know what it was. All I can describe is what happened. And they're communicating, and this thing is trying to say to God, no, he's going on, you know, he needs to go now. And God's saying he's not done. Okay, he's got to go back. And there's no such thing as time there. There's no way you can't tell. It seemed like a long time, but I couldn't tell you if it was days, weeks, or whatever. But on the other side of the curtain, down here on Earth, well, my body was in the ICU unit going on the fourth day. I had not only had the flesh-eating tool going through my whole body, I had double pneumonia, my lungs had collapsed.
Oh, my gosh.
I had taken a heart attack. I had taken three seizures. I had thrush. They weren't sure if they had even gotten the flesh eating under control. And the doctors were about to actually pull the plug, and my wife intervened and said, no, that's not ever going to happen. He's going to come back. And they said, and they explained all the things that went wrong. And they said, and that's not the worst of it. The worst of it is the man has been without oxygen for a minimum of 20 minutes. After 3 or 5 minutes, you're a vegetable. Even when he comes back,
wow,
not going to have brain function. And she says, I'll tell you, you pull that plug, you're not going to have a hospital because I'm suing everybody.
Don't mess with her.
So it was that afternoon I set up.
Wow, praise God. That is amazing.
One girl, and I thought she was going to have a heart attack. She turned white when she saw me set up because they give me last rites, all that other stuff. And I sat up, and I'm trying to pull these tubes out of me. And then she's freaking out. So I'm sitting there saying, you know, to myself, you know, what the heck is going on? But I can't talk because I got this big tube in my throat. So I motioned to write, you know, do you have something to write with? And then she starts screaming, he's got brain function, he's got brain function. She takes off out of the room, comes back with a whole bunch of doctors. Didn't bring my wife back. She brings the doctors back. And I'm sitting there saying, okay, this is really weird. So anyway.
That is crazy. What a story. And you actually, you know, this happened again, and you actually ascended into what you believe is paradise.
I know it was paradise because it happened. It was like 3 weeks after that.
Okay, we only have a couple of minutes left, but please do describe what happened there.
They knew eventually they had to take the pipe out of my throat, put a regular trach in, or I wouldn't be able to talk or eat. So, again, with my wife holding me this time, I had the doctors in front of me, and they assured me there's a balloon in there holding this pipe. We're going to deflate the balloon, we're going to pull the balloon and the pipe out, and we're going to put the trach back in. Everything will be fine, Mr. Lynch. Don't worry about a thing. And in the meantime, I can't talk, and all I'm thinking is, yeah, idiot, like you told me the first time that nothing's going to go wrong. I just let it roll. They pulled the thing out, and as soon as they did, didn't my throat close, and I died a second time. When you suffocate to death, I cannot tell you how painful it is. It's like being hung. It's like being electrocuted. It's like what Jesus suffered on the cross when he suffocated to death.
Wow.
His lungs filled up. I know what it feels like. It's horrible. Do me any other way. Don't do me that way no more. This time, I went past the ceiling. When I started floating, once you get to a point, all the miserable feelings, everything that was horrible in my life goes away. And instead, it gets replaced with these feelings you've never had. They don't exist down here. And they're beyond wonderful. They're fantastic. You're embraced in this golden light, and you're heading towards this beautiful bright light that eventually splits into three lights. And when you, as you get closer, you start, I was wondering, what am I running into here? And it was there where I met Jesus.
What did he look like, what did he say, if anything?
Well, when I got up there, I saw, first I see this beautiful gold light with all kinds of different sparkly stuff all in the middle of it. And then I saw this one in front of it that was like real long, you know. It was like white light with gold light all around it. Like, I thought, well, at first I thought it was clouds with maybe lightning in it. And then I got close, I thought it was like a million sheep. And then I got close, I found out it was people. And they are whiter than white, and around their whole body is this, it almost like gold garland, and it like encompasses and holds their spirit. And in back, that beautiful gold wall is a wall of heaven, and it's like so thick, but it's semi-transparent, and you could see all these gems that it's filled with. I mean, rubies, sapphires, emeralds, they're all in this beautiful wall. I couldn't see where it started, ended, or wherever. It just seemed to go forever up high and down low and on either side. And all these people were staring at it. I couldn't understand, what is that? And why are they? And nobody said hi to me or anything. And all of a sudden, I hear, Mark, my name, and I go to turn a look, and there's a third light, and now it's Jesus. He is, he's unbelievable. I've seen him in his glory. I didn't see him like the boy that they did the movie on, Heaven is for Real.
Right.
He saw him as the Jesus that you'd see in the Bible. I saw him as Lord of Lords. He was white, like you would not believe. His head, his feet, his hands, they were brighter than the sun. you couldn't stare at him because it's like trying to stare at the sun. And around his entire body is a rainbow, a multitude of colors, and all those colors are alive and filled with emotion, and they shoot off of him. And as you're standing in his presence, or actually getting down in his presence, because the energy force that comes off of him was the same energy force that came off of God the Father, was the same energy force that came off of God, I believe, the Holy Spirit in my backyard.
Wow.
And he explained to me that I was in paradise, not heaven.
So what's the difference?
Where I was heaven, I don't know what all these people were. He told me that I was only allowed a glimpse, because all I kept doing is thanking him for being there, because there was no way I'm coming back. I'm staying there. There's no way. Once you go there, you ain't coming back here. This is hell. I'm not coming back there. No, Jesus, no. Please, Lord, let me stay here. You have to go back, he said. You ever try to argue with God and you think you're going to win?
No. No. So he obviously you're here, so he did send you back. Why do you think you came back?
Well, I think he wanted me to write the book, and I think he wanted to give me the chance, because I cannot understand why everybody is not flocking to Jesus. Why? Why? There's nothing else. There's no. Forget about Buddha. Forget about Muhammad. Forget about all that. That's all baloney. Forget about having 3,500 virgins. You don't need it. Where I went was so fantastic. There's nothing. All the money down here, all the riches, all the fame, nothing can compare to it. Nothing.
That's awesome. Well, Mark, we've got just about 30 seconds left. So if there's one last thing you'd like to say to our listeners, maybe there's someone listening right now who's just struggling with doubt. They don't know about God or not sure if he's real. What would you like to say to them?
I will say to them this, whatever it takes, whatever you got to do, and I don't care how bad your life is, you have to find this invisible being. His name is Jesus. You have to find him, and you have to learn how to have a personal relationship with him, just like he was your best friend, because when you become what is called born again, when God fills you with his spirit, he fills you with your own personal guide to get you through this life and make sure that he gets you to where I got to go.
Amen. Well, Mark, I want to thank you so much for taking
thank
the time
you
to share.
Give me the time, Dan. Thank you.
Oh, it's been an amazing journey and an amazing testimony. So once again, our special guest has been Mark Lynch. His book is called Walk With Me. You can check it out at walkwithmebook.com. I highly recommend you check it out. It is an interesting and riveting read. A lot more details in there than we could cover here, unfortunately. But again, his name is Mark Lynch. I'm your host, Daniel Fazina. Thanks so much for tuning in. And God willing, we'll see you again next week for another exciting episode of Divine Intervention. Take care and God bless.
You've been listening to Divine Intervention with your host, Daniel Fazina. You can email Daniel at divineintervention@mail.com. That's divineintervention@mail.com. All programs of Divine Intervention are available online at divineinterventionradio.com. That's divineinterventionradio.com. Join us next time here on Divine Intervention. I believe in miracles.
Times are tough, not getting easier, but there's an opportunity that could make a significant change in your financial situation. People are paying too much for home utilities, and everybody has them. Help friends and family save money and get paid for it. No obligation. You don't even have to talk to anyone unless you want to. Just listen to a 3-minute recorded message. Call now, 203-717-3124. 203-717-3124. Listen, decide, and you could be on your way to a better tomorrow. 203-717-3124.
Divine Intervention welcomes the support of Letierzo Associates Certified Public Accountants. Letierzo Associates Certified Public Accountants is a family-owned and operated Christian business serving their clients with quality accounting services for over 40 years, offering full-service accounting for any type of business, large or small, in any state of the union. Letierzo Associates Certified Public Accountants, 12 Oak Street, No. 5, West Hampton Beach, New York, 11978. Phone 631-288-3334. That's 631-288-3334.